Hello, everybody. Going back to the 1950s today and talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Vincent Price.
Sexy-ass Vincent Price.
Sexy-ass Vincent Price in this movie.
Yeah, before he was like super old.
Before he was super old.
Yeah.
Well,
70s rolled around, he was super old.
I mean, we're
he was
all
still cool, though.
We're all getting there. Yeah, he was always cool.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was
cool,
always cool. I mean, he had a really, really long career.
Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah.
He was hilarious.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but he was also, like, a little bit, maybe in his later life, was also, like, something of a gourmet. And him and his wife put out, like, at least one cookbook, maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was
always... He liked his food, huh?
Yeah.
Good. He's a foodie.
Yep. So, yeah, he just, like, seemed like an all-around cool guy.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about The Tingler, a movie that the porn version could have the same exact title and no one would know any different. This came out in 1959. I kind of love these old 1950s, like, creature features. This one is almost kind of... I guess I never really thought about this, but I was, like, watching another review of it, and they kind of said there's, like, almost, like, some proto-Cronenberg shit going on in this.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, it's almost kind of like a body horror, like an early body horror type of monster situation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I didn't really think of until I was, like, until somebody mentioned that. So, this was directed and produced by the late, great William Castle. Now, anybody that knows anything about this era of horror, William Castle was, like, the gimmick guy. And I think this was, like, his third movie that he did with the same writer. Prior to this, he'd done one called Macabre, and his gimmick on that was he'd give you, like, a $1,000 life insurance policy if you died of fright during the movie. So, you know, he was starting out small. And then the next one, which was the second one that he, or the first one that he did with Vincent Price, was House on Haunted Hill, the very famous, which has been remade and shit like that. And that one, the gimmick was Emergo, where the skeleton, like, would come out from, like, during the part in the movie where the skeleton, like, came out in the basement or whatever, like, a real skeleton would come out in the theater, like, on a wire, and it would, like, go over the crowd or whatever. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
now,
gimmicks and
well, yeah, but it's like, there's something kind of charming about that, you know what I mean? Now, this one, this movie actually kind of has two gimmicks, which I actually get why he did it, because one of the gimmicks is, like, in camera, like, in the film, and then the other gimmick, which was really expensive, but could only be, like, at limited theaters, you know, since it was in limited theaters, you might not get that gimmick, so at least there was another gimmick in there. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So the gimmick for this one, well, it... yeah, you do.
What are you talking about? Okay.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You guys know what I'm talking about. No, because I'm saying you had to have, you had a gimmick in the film being... the film's in black and white, but there's one sequence where a woman is unknowingly tripping on LSD. We'll get into it. And that's... She actually is tripping on LSD in the movie. And you see, like, some visions where there's, like... The bathtub and the sink is, like, full of blood, and the blood is, like, bright red.
In a black and white movie.
In a black and white movie. So that was one gimmick. But the other gimmick, which was only limited theaters, was something called Percepto, with a exclamation point on the end.
Yeah, Percepto.
Percepto.
Yeah.
What this was in some theaters, they rigged some of the seats with... See, I think William Castle, in his autobiography, I think he said, oh, it would give you an electric shock. It wasn't that. It was just like a little vibrating. I actually think they got it from what I heard was that it was parts of like a de-icing motor, like from World War II planes or something like that. And they would just like rig them in some of the theater seats, like in the bigger theaters, like in big cities and stuff. And then during the part of the movie when the Tingler was supposedly loose in the theater, they would turn all the lights out and then some of the seats would vibrate. And in the movie, like, the only way to get the Tingler off of you is to scream. So everybody... And actually, in some of the theaters, too, they had, like, plants in there. Like, they had people that would, like, get up and faint and scream and shit like that. So they'd kind of get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
So they did kind of, like, a big... I mean, it sounds super fun. I would have fucking loved...
No, it probably didn't work.
I don't know. This is 1959.
Okay.
I mean, you have to get into the spirit of the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I actually would like to see it. I'd like to see, like, a revival of it where they had all the gimmicks.
People had less to do back then.
That's what I'm saying. So it's, like, probably fun. But like I said, it still sounds, like, kind of fun. You know what I mean? Even if you didn't get the vibration. And I like that they even they say at the beginning, because William Castle, like, does the introduction at the beginning, and he even says, well, not everyone is susceptible, because not all the seats had the shit. Because, like I said, I think the gimmick cost him, like, $250,000, $500,000, something like that. It was, like, some hugely big amount. And pushed the budget, like,
just for
doubled the budget. Yeah, doubled
for
the budget.
Vibrator.
Yeah, well, and they had to, like, pay, people, you know, stooges and stuff, too. Yeah. That would, true, like, act in every, you know, true, showing. So they had to do that as well. So I'm sure that contributed. But I don't know. It just seems like kind of just like a fun... I would really, really like to see like a revival of this for like 1950, you know, with all the 50s stuff and like where they turn all the lights. You can't turn all the lights out. The exit lights had to stay on, obviously, in case there was a fire. But other than that, they turned all the lights off and they got people to scream and some of the seats vibrated and shit like that. So I don't know. I thought that was like a cool idea. It's my favorite one of his gimmicks. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, it's like William Castle, like I said, he's kind of known nowadays as the gimmick guy because that's kind of what he did. And he was pretty successful at that. But you have to think... One, from everything that I've heard about him, he was, like, the nicest dude imaginable. And two, he actually, like, produced some good shit. He produced Rosemary's Baby. So, like, the movie. So he did do some good... It wasn't just all, like, 50s gimmick kind of stuff. So this movie here... What is this movie? What is The Tingler about, if you haven't seen it? So Vincent Price plays... He's a pathologist, I guess. Dr. Chapin, I think, is his name. And he's noticed... that people that die, like, some people that die, like, in a state of extreme fear, that, like, their backbone, like, their spine is broken. And he thinks, like, you know, it's bullshit, just roll with it. And he thinks that's, like, really unusual. It's just, like, there must be something doing that, right? So he's trying to, like, figure out what it is. So he's doing, like, some mad scientist kind of shit on the side. Now, what he eventually discovers... and he kind of, like, proves it later on, is that inside of everybody's spine, I wasn't real clear on whether everybody's just born with it or if it's, like, some kind of parasite that kind of comes in your body later.
I think you're reading too much into it.
Well, that's kind of what I do, though.
They hadn't thought that out either.
I mean, it's kind of a cool idea, I will say, because what it is they said, hey, you know how, I mean, essentially they took the phrase, like, spine tingling and made it, like, literal.
That there's something in your spine that does that. It's a parasite, I guess.
Yeah, and, like, the more scared you get, like, the bigger it gets. Yeah. And then if you get so scared that you can't scream or you get, like, overwhelmed, then it will, like, kill you and it will, like, break your spine while it's trying to get out or something like that.
I remember as a kid when I saw it, it scared the shit out of me. This fucking... Vincent Price pulls with the fucking tingler out of somebody's spine, out of a dead person's back.
Yeah.
You only see it in shadow, and it looks like a big old centipede.
Yeah.
And then it fucking, camera angle changes, and he's got it in his hand, and it starts biting him, and he's going, and he's fighting it. And it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. You see it now, and it's just like, it's the little creature actually... Looks pretty good.
It's actually pretty good for 1959. It looks like, I mean, I'm sure it was just like strings or something like that, but it looked like it was like alive, and I couldn't really, you know, it kind of humped around like that. Yeah. And like I said, if you don't like creepy crawlies or centipedes or something like that, then it would absolutely like probably freak you out because it's got those big feelers and those little feet.
Yeah, I was just, even watching this movie as an adult, it's difficult for me to follow, you know what I mean? It's kind of boring, or not really, plotting. Not really boring. It's just kind of slow by today's standards. A lot of talking, which is...
Well, 50s, a lot of 50s movies. 50s
talking,
like
and not a lot of showing. And I kept getting confused. Was the Tingler invisible? Was it transferring from one person to the next? I had a hard
time. No, everybody has their own Tingler.
Everybody had their own, right?
Everybody...
Okay.
There's a sentence I never thought I'd say. All everybody right. has their own Tingler.
Okay.
What happened to
evidently.
The
one that he took out?
Well, no, that's the whole, like, point of the story. So, okay, so he didn't really realize. He's like, well, there has to be something in there. And he started to suspect there was something in there. So what he did, one thing that I love about this, too, is that there are two married couples in this, because I kind of feel like this movie had, like, a little bit of, like, a black comedy element to it, too. Vincent Price and his wife... The way they snipe at each other is fucking hilarious. Because his wife in this is just, like, this complete hussy, man. Yeah. And she's, like, totally not ashamed about it or anything. Like, she just, like, cruises in. She's like, making out with her boyfriend, like, on the lawn, like, in front of the house. He's, like, Vincent Price looking out the window going, wow, look at her go. You know what I mean? It's just kind of this whole thing. And he's like, yeah, you know, how come every time I come in here, like, come in the front door, I hear the back door close. She's just kind of like, oh, I don't know, bro. Yeah. Why could that be? She's, like, totally not hiding it.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
He's cut.
Yeah, well, and you have to believe, she's a terrible person, I'm not saying that, like, and they paint her as that, because it's not just that she's fucking around on him, because that could almost be forgivable, because he doesn't pay any attention to her, because he's always in the lab, but she, like, compounds the error by, she also has a sister, who, they live in this big palatial estate, apparently she's, the wife has got all the money, right, and she's the one that's paying for all of Vincent Price's, you know, science and stuff, yeah, and, so, even though her sister is clearly, like, 30, she's like, oh, well, I have guardianship over her, and she can't do anything I don't want her to do, or she won't get any of Daddy's money, because I have control of all of it. And the sister wants to marry this guy, Dave, that is Vincent Price's assistant, and the bitchy sister is just kind of like, nah, that's not happening.
For some reason.
Yeah, well, she doesn't like Dave. Well, no, because she thinks that Dave is going to end up just like Vincent Price. Like, you're going to ignore her just like you ignore me. It's like, y'all going to be in the lab, like, the whole time. And it's like, and I don't want that to happen to her. That's her excuse anyway. But like I said, the wife is a terrible person, but deliciously so. She's, like, such a bitch, and it's amazing. I love it. I love her character.
It's 50s style relationship problems.
I just really, really... I mean, they are literally, like, threatened to fucking kill each other, like, all the time. And I just love how fucking brash she is about all the fucking affairs that she's having. And just, like, the bitchy shit that Vincent Price says to her, like, about it. You know, just, it's just great. Like, all the lines between them. It's just, like, I think that's probably my favorite part of the movie. It's just the two of them, like, sniping at each other.
The thing about the movie that fucking always got me is that he pulled that thing out of the spine, and that thing wouldn't fit in a spine without you not being able to see it. It was pretty massive.
Well, yeah, kind of the thing is, the thing that he said at the beginning, like I said, it doesn't have to make too much sense. It's a 50s sci-fi creature feature, but... He did say at the beginning that if you had so much fear in your body, like, the more fear that you had, like, the bigger it would get. So it's not that big usually.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And the reason that the one that he pulled out of that one woman was so big was because she was a deaf mute and she couldn't scream.
Okay. Yeah,
and so she was so terrified that it got really big and then busted out and killed her.
Okay. I didn't really.
Yeah. They weren't all that big because what ends up happening is that Vincent Price, to like test his theory before he knows that the tingler is a real thing. It's just theoretical.
Something never been observed ever before. Hundreds of years of fucking autopsies.
Yeah, but like I said, the excuse for that could be
and that are they in animals
that they're little.
Yeah,
and you know, unless you get so terrified and you can't, you know, let that out. Then it'll stay small so nobody would notice it. It's like, it's plausible deniability. I'm willing to give the movie the benefit of the doubt.
50s science.
I'm willing to, yeah. Well, you know, 50s science, that's what it was.
That's some 50s science.
You know, the heart is one big cell. It's 50s science.
Yeah. I remember that. What movie was that?
That was The Amazing Colossal,
that
man.
That didn't make any goddamn sense.
I'm like, because I saw that movie on Mystery Science Theater. They said, well, we all know that the heart is one big giant cell. I'm like, no, it's not. We don't know that. What are you talking about? Mr. Sciencey Man.
They also don't know the difference between a solar system, a galaxy, or anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to leave our galaxy. To leave our galaxy, we have to enter the solar system. And they'd say some crazy shit like that. Like, they don't know what a galaxy or a solar system.
It seemed like they used those two terms, like, interchangeably. Right. And I'm like, those terms are not interchangeable. Those are two completely different things.
We're going to go to that. We're going to get into this rocket ship and go to the center of the galaxy. It's 5 million miles away. Like, oh, it is. Okay.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah.
5 million miles away. All right.
Now, really, like, other than the tingler science in this, which, you know, it's fine. Now, Vincent Price does say one thing, and I'll give him a pass because people did actually think this probably up until the 60s or 70s, I think, was that your hair and your fingernails keep growing a little bit after you die. For a long time, people did think that. That is absolutely not the case.
It pulls away from
The skin just like kind of shrivels and pulls. So it sometimes it looks like that, but they don't actually keep growing after you die. But yeah, so theoretically, he knows there's a tingler, like, theoretically, that can kill people, that can, you know, make people die of fright, right? So he decides that the best way to test this theory is he's going to shoot his wife, as you do.
Yeah.
You never know when that situation might occur. But or shoot your husband or your boyfriend, you know, just saying. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he doesn't really, I mean, he does want to shoot her. I'm not shoot her dead. I'm not saying that. But he just wants to see, he pretends to shoot her like with a blank because he wants to, her to be like really terrified. So he can see if the shit is in there. So he does that. You think she's dead. He yanks her onto like the x-ray thing. It takes x-rays of her back and then he sees it in there. So he's like, oh my God, it's like an actual creature that looks like this little doohickey. Now, prior to all this, he happens to meet this guy who was a friend of somebody he was autopsying and wanted to come see the autopsy, again, as one does. And it turned out that this guy and his wife owned a movie theater that played like old silent movies. Now, it turns out that this guy's wife, who he also wants to kill, you find that out later on, is a deaf mute and she can't scream. She also has some other issues. She's super, super afraid of blood, and she seems a little OCD, although I don't think they bring that up in the movie, but she totally has OCD. She's like a germaphobe and everything like that. So she's got some problems. But so Vincent Price thinks to himself, hey, right here is a golden opportunity because here is a woman who's like super nervous and has all of these like phobias and she can't scream to release the tingler, like to, you know, get the tingler off her back, literally. So he's like, I'm gonna go experiment on that bitch without like her knowing about it. Now, before he does that, he has his assistant bring him some LSD. Yes, LSD. 1959, it was still legal. Really, I mean, it was just kind of seen as an experimental chemical acid. They were still, like, doing, like I said, experiments on it. So it wasn't termed, you know, as a narcotic or anything like that, like it is nowadays.
The attitude of the attitude about drugs, a modern person wouldn't understand it. It wasn't until, like, the 60s and the 70s that drugs started to kind of become controlled by governments, really. They mostly didn't give a shit what you did. They used to sell fucking laudanum and opium through the mail back in the 1800s, early 1900s.
Well, yeah, that wasn't illegal. Because, cocaine wasn't illegal.
Didn't really think about it. They didn't care. You had something called right to bliss, which is your body if you want to take it. If you ask me, I think it's the way it should be. You know, the fucking, because there wasn't much money in it, so there was no reason to kill anybody over it. There were no drug cartels or anything. It's just not worth anything, really. Until it's illegal, then all of a sudden it's worth gold. And then they used governments with it.
And I mean, the thing is, like, and we've talked about this before, I don't want to get too far off the topic, but I mean, as long as people aren't, like, fucking driving around or anything like that, but, you know, we already have laws like that, like alcohol, so, you know, the same kind of shit should apply. So he decides he's going to take some LSD because he's like, well, I would experiment on myself, but I'm not afraid of anything. So I don't know how that's going to work. So he's like, well, maybe I'll take some LSD and that'll freak me out. And then, you know, I can experiment on myself. So there's a great scene where he takes some LSD. He injects it, actually, in his office. And then he starts to go, like, all it takes effect, like, immediately, which I'm not sure if it does. I guess it would be a lot faster if you injected it, like, rather than, like, ingesting it like you normally would. Because it takes a while, but it's pretty much immediate, and he's like, shit starts tilting, and then he's like, the walls! Yeah. And then he's kind of like, thinks the skeleton is like fucking with him, and he thinks he thinks that the window is locked. He opens it, and he's like, I'm locked in, even though the window is like clearly opening. Yeah. So he's like freaking out. So like I said, he's experimenting with that. He's like, okay, that works pretty good. So I'm gonna go unknowingly like give it to this mute woman and see what happens. So he meets up with the theater guy, and then the theater guy's like, yeah, my wife's not feeling too well. He's like, well, I'll go up there and see what's going on. So he's like, here's this injection. It's just like a sedative. It won't hurt you, nothing like that. And then she has a fucking freak out. She starts seeing like poltergeist activity. You know, she sees like this dude with like a melty face, and he's like fucking with a machete or something. There's like a werewolf hand like throwing a hatchet at her, all kind of crazy shit. And then, like I said, she goes in the bathroom and the sink turns on and it's red, like red blood. And like I said, she had a blood, you know, phobia. And then the bathtub also fills up with blood and like this bloody arm comes out of it and shit like that. Now, they said I don't know if I entirely believe this. They said that how they shot those two scenes was that it was color film, but they actually, like, painted everything black and white, you know, to it. And I was like, I'm not sure I buy that, because some of it looks like they could have done it like that when it was just, like, the sink and the wall and shit. Like, yeah, they could have done it like that. And I've seen that done before. But there's some parts, especially where she's in it, I was like, they didn't paint her entirely black and white. That just would have looked weird. And the part where it's her and, like, the bloody tub, it's, like, way grainier. Even though the movie's been restored, it's actually on Tubi for free if you want to watch it. And that's, like, the restored version. And it looks, like, really crisp and beautiful, except for that one scene, like, is real, real grainy. And I think that's why, because I think maybe it's some kind of, like, you know, they had to do, a color layover or something like that that made it, like, kind of fuzzy. So I kind of feel like that's what they did. But some of it's still sharp, and that's the ones that I think that they just painted the set black and white without the actress in it. You know what I'm saying? Because that looks all right. But so she sees that and she dies. And then Vincent Price is all kind of like, okay, well, you know, she's dead, so we might as well, like, you know, contribute, have some science, you know, contribution to science. And so he takes the Tingler out, and it's, like, super big. And then it escapes. And so because the Tingler gets out and the couple, like, where the wife died, live above the theater, the Tingler, like, gets down to the theater. So that's kind of how they do this whole meta thing, where if you saw this in the theater back in 1959, they'd be like, the Tingler is loose in this theater. And then, like, the seats would start to vibrate and, like, people would start screaming and they turn the lights off and all this other kind of shit. And, like, they also, like, listen to their commitment to this gimmick. They also re-recorded some shit that said the Tingler is loose in this drive-in, so that even if you saw it in a drive-in theater, you'd still get, like, the correct thing. And I was like I said, that's commitment. He thought of everything, William Castle. So yeah, so it gets out, like, everybody's flipping out, and they're trying to get anybody to scream. Like I said, it's like audience participation. And then they end up, like, catching it. And then Vincent Price says, well, maybe the only way we can kill it, because it's apparently indestructible, is if we put it back into the host, right? So they have to put it back into the dead woman. At which point you find out that the woman, even though Vincent Price did actually inject her with LSD, that, I guess she was, like, tripping out, but her husband actually wore the costume and, like, did all the shit in the room that was scaring her. Not the blood stuff. I don't think he could have pulled that off. But all the other stuff that she saw, like the rocking chair going back and forth and the scary melty-faced dude with the knife and all that, that was him. So he'd been trying to kill her, and he thought, hey, maybe I can scare her to death now that I've found out about this Tingler business. So he actually did kill. So Vincent Price is like, oh, well, by the way, I'm turning your ass in. So there was that whole thing, too. But then it ends up, like, the guy ends up dying because when they put the Tingler back into the woman, she, like, sits up and stares at him, like, all creepy. And then he dies of fright. So it's what goes around comes around. There's that kind of shit, too. But, yeah, so this is just, I don't know, this, to me, this is, like, just a really charming 50s monster movie. I love the gimmicks. I really like that. I just think that's, like, super cute. And I think it's cute that they thought of that at the time, you know? And I think if you saw it in the theater, it would have been, like, really fun. And, you know, although, like I said, I do actually think the creature is pretty effective because, I mean, it's obviously kind of fake and rubbery and stuff. But if you're kind of grossed out by bugs or centipedes, I mean, it's probably pretty, it'd probably be kind of upsetting. So there's that, you know?
Yeah, not me.
You didn't like it?
No, not really. It's, had it been shortened, this might have made a pretty good Twilight Zone episode. There's just too much movie here for what it is that they're trying to do. Not enough payoff. But probably pretty good in its day. You know, a lot of shit in the 50s sucked. You might be able to, I don't know. You give this to Cronenberg, and he actually might come up with something.
How awesome would that be if David Cronenberg or Brandon Cronenberg?
Brandon would probably do
it. They could remake the Tingler. They don't have to call it the Tingler because, like I said, that sounds like a sex toy.
Yeah.
But
you just call it something else.
But it could totally be a remake of the Tingler, just with, like, a different name.
It just wasn't for me.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it just wasn't for me.
One thing I like I said, probably, other than, like, the little monster, my favorite thing is just the way that Vincent Price and his wife, like, snipe at each other. Like, the bitchy shit they say to each other is, like, hilarious. And also, I just kind of feel like it had, like, a really good, like, black comedy kind of tone to it. And I just really kind of got into that. I also love that Vincent Price... This is why everybody still talks about Vincent Price and loves him to this day, is that as ridiculous as the premise of this movie was, as cheap as this movie was, it was just like a gimmicky creature feature, he committed. He took that shit seriously.
Well, he always did.
He always did, and I think that that's kind of why he has like such, he's so lionized in the horror community, because he never laughed at the movie, he never half-assed it, he came in and he took it seriously, and he actually gave the best performance that he could, and I think that that is one of the things that actually kind of makes this work, is that...
Well, he makes this movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying, like, ridiculous things. Like, like I said, the science behind this is kind of ridiculous, but he just says it with such conviction that you're almost kind of like, oh, okay, I'm kind of buying it.
He's tripping out the kids. Yeah. He knows he's tripping out the kids. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, so he does sell this movie.
Yeah.
This movie would have been long forgotten without him. It's a terrible premise. But he is pulling out the stops to try to make you believe this shit.
Yeah.
Your old fucking Uncle Vincent. Uncle Vincent. You know, trying to put one over on you.
Yeah,
that's really
exactly.
What it is.
Exactly.
He's definitely trying to put one over on you.
Yeah.
He knows he is.
But he's not, like I said, he's not making fun of the material or anything like that. He always was, like, really professional.
No, he's just trying to trip you out.
Yeah. And I just think that's, like, so great. I don't think this is as good as House on Haunted Hill, because I fucking love House on Haunted Hill. I don't think we've done House on Haunted Hill, have we? But, yeah, because that's, like, more a murder mystery type thing. But this one's, like, a lot of fun, too. And, you know, what's weird? I was, like, watching last night, and the guy that plays Dave in this, I was like, that guy looks, like, super familiar. And so I looked him up, and he was actually he was in movies back from when he was a child actor, like, back in the 1930s. But he was in some movies that we reviewed, like, from the early 80s. He was in Looker, and he was in Sharky's Machine. Mm. Okay, he was, like, Detective Smiley.
Yeah.
And I was just like, God, I knew he looked familiar. Yeah. I thought he was in a bunch of other 50s movies.
This is what you watch when you're in a 50s mood and you're going to watch, like, a couple of 50s movies back to back, you know, raining outside and fucking lightning and shit. You're drinking. You can watch.
Yeah, this is actually a good one. I think this is a good one.
You don't take any of these movies seriously. They're just there to fucking try to trip you out.
Yeah. Although, compared to some other 50s movies I've seen, this is actually really nicely shot. Like, it has, like, some really good framing and, like, some kind of moody, atmospheric kind of stuff.
Well, this is one of the memorable ones.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of them that people don't even remember them. That's how bad they were.
Right.
This is one of the good ones.
Yeah.
It's just not one of the top good ones. It's just...
Yeah, it's probably like I said, like probably like B tier. This is like B tier. Like I said, I don't think it's as good as House on Haunted Hill, which also had Vincent Price and his wife sniping at each other, wanting to kill each other. Now that I'm thinking about it, he seemed to do that a lot in movies. But it's not as good as that. But I think that these two movies would make a good double feature. I think House on Haunted Hill and The Tingler, so you can kind of watch those two together. But
50s, I'm gonna take like them.
Yeah, I don't think we haven't done that one yet,
no,
have we?
No, we didn't do them.
Yeah.
Them.
We haven't done enough 50s movies, I feel like. So, you know.
Blob.
Yeah. Although that one, I kind of like the remake better from the 80s, which I don't say that lately.
Fucking War of the Worlds.
Now, we did do that.
We did
do the 50s War of the Worlds.
Forbidden Planet. That's top tier 50s.
Yeah. This one, like I said, it's just kind of like it's a fun B movie. It wasn't aspiring to be anything else. It wasn't supposed to be like a master of cinema or anything. But given that, it's actually much better than it needed to be. Let's put it like that.
If you were growing up in the 70s, back on fucking Saturday, at Saturday fucking matinee, they'd fucking play the fucking monster movies. And this is like one that would come up and it would scare you. In the middle of the day, you're watching this shit, you get scared. It's all right. I'll forget about it by the time I go to bed.
And then you go to bed and, like, you think there's a tingler. A big fucking huge centipede, like, crawling on your face and shit.
It's like that.
It is like that. Yeah. But, yeah, so, if you like Vincent Price and you haven't seen this, it's definitely worth watching. It's on Tubi for free at the moment, at least as of this recording. So go check it out or let us know what you thought about it. And that will do it for this movie retrospective. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.